Hello, Internet Detectives. I'm Lauren Chippen, professional writer who does own one of those Hamilton t-shirts with all the different names.
And I'm Cher McAnally, head of entertainment at Tumblr, who has long ebony black hair with purple streaks and red tips that reaches my mid-back.
Yes, okay. This is going to be a great episode. And this is Dashboard Diaries, a podcast for you, the folks who are in this internet bunker with us. We talk about what's going on in our favorite hell site, get into what we like to call Tumble lore, do fandom deep dives, and share the times when we've gone feral over a new ship. And today, we are doing the same thing we did last episode, which is that we are bringing to each other our favorite fandom, Tumblr, scandal, conspiracy, drama. And we didn't tell each other what the ones that we're bringing were until this moment, but Cher, I think I know what you brought today.
What do you think I brought today, Lauren? What makes you think, and also what makes you think
I think based on your introduction and the lovely description of your appearance, I think we're maybe talking about My Immortal.
You are correct. Or that could just be how I look. No one knows, because this is a podcast.
No one knows.
I could have
exactly
that hair. No, but you are correct. This is definitely the My Immortal saga. And I know vaguely what your conspiracy is. Like, it's the, like, Hamilton, like saga, but I don't exactly know what the name of it is. So, or, like, what the kind of, like, context, like, I read the context and info about this conspiracy as part of my research about a month ago or a few weeks ago when we were doing our last episode. But for this episode, I knew exactly what I was going to go in for. So I have...
Nice.
Wow,
nice.
That was a way long way of saying I kind of know what yours is.
Yes, I am. My intro was also a little bit of a hint. I am going to be talking about the Hamilton Cannibal Mermaid fanfic HIV fake identity conspiracy.
Of course. That was...
Yes, all of those words are relevant to this.
That's actually what I was going to say, Lauren. You took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I actually changed to this at the last minute because I was looking for a dashboard confessional and had a particularly appropriate one. So before we get into these wide-reaching conspiracies, Cher, do you have anything from your archives to share today?
I do. I have two posts from my archives today. One, which just is a post that's relevant for my archives, and the other because I have a short story to go along with it, which I put in the notes. Yeah. So the first one I posted on September 25th, I think, 2017, 2018, I think it was 2018, when, yeah, Phoebe Waller-Bridge won all of her Emmys for Fleabag. And there's this photo of her sitting outside on, like, a lawn chair in her dress with a margarita, smoking a cigarette, and her multiple Emmys on either side of her. And it was posted by Fleabag, who captioned it, "Picture of God herself," and then someone reblogged it. I'm pretty sure I reblogged it and said, "This is the most important photo to ever exist." It should be in the list. It was the background on my phone for a while, the background on my computer. I love this photo. It's aspirational. It's iconic. It's avant-garde, you know. It has a je ne sais quoi about it. I wish I spoke more languages so I could speak about it in other ways. It's fantastic. So anyway, that one, that is just, you know, completely earnestly one of my favorite, you know, like, photos, and definitely, you know, one of my, like, you know, it's definitely a vision board photo for me, I would say.
Yes,
I
too, absolutely. Things to aspire
yes,
to.
Yes, I too want to be surrounded by awards while I drink a margarita on a pool chair, you know, on a pool lounger.
Yes, in a ball gown.
In a ball gown, as one does. Luxury.
Ideal.
Luxury. And
that is luxury.
The next post I have, just this story is far shorter than the Pope Baby Wall story.
Still a favorite
just
of mine.
Just a warning. So this post I posted is a little bit of a cheat because I posted it on September 10th, which is, you know, a few weeks ago, but and 2017. But it's a text post that says, "I just read the phrase boy thrussy. ...thrussy is gender neutral, you fucking fools." And then Greedy for Love reblogged it with a gif of Ariana Grande saying, "It's equality," which, iconic,
perfect,
true, accurate. And the quick story that I wanted to share, where the note here says, "Reminder to tell Debussy story." So
yeah, very curious about this.
I was at my friend's house a few weeks ago, and on their coffee table was a book of sheet music. It said Debussy sheet music. And I said, "What is Debussy sheet music until I realized my mistake. And I do want to clarify, I realized my mistake before they, like, I know that who Debussy is. Like, I just want to clarify that. It just took a hot sec. But I think it's a little unfortunate that instead of when thinking Debussy, when I see Debussy, I think Debussy.
Debussy.
Debussy sheet music. Just imagine, I don't know what that would be, but I'm interested to know.
The incredible composer Debussy.
Oh my God.
That's incredibly good. What did your friend react with? Were they like, it's Debussy?
They, you know, were, honestly, they laughed, but it's pretty, unfortunately, pretty on brand for me. And I am going to say, Lauren, I've been sitting here kind of having like my second brain, my, you know, half brain working on a pun for Claire de Lune that also includes, if Claire de Lussie, I don't know, we're working on it. Claire Debussy Loon. I don't know. We'll get there. But anyway.
There's something.
If you have thoughts there, let me know. Like, yeah, if you have a Claire de Lune Debussy cover, I would love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't even imagine that, really.
Anyway, I don't even know why, honestly, I'm sharing this just publicly for the public record to know that this is,
I love it.
A private moment with me and two friends, but instead I was like, no, everyone needs to know.
No, I'm going to tell the internet.
About this. Yeah, exactly.
That is honestly the Tumblr spirit, though,
true.
I think. Is like you tell things to thousands of strangers that you would not say necessarily to, like, you know, somebody at your work.
Oh my
right?
gosh, never in a million years would I admit that in the marketing meeting that I just had 2 hours ago. But
as I was saying that, I was like, well, you do work at Tumblr, so the vibes are a little bit different.
That one I honestly was pretty embarrassed by, because that's just like, oof, you know, that's... that's a bigger oof than normal, but yeah, I was completely other tangent. But yeah, from a Tumblr POV, that would be completely normal. Friday was most recent Friday was Hobbit Day, and
nice.
I decided that it would be fun to just post the word Hobbit over and over and over again on the entertainment account in different fonts, and I really don't know how to tell my manager that that engagement rate exceeded any engagement rate we've seen on. Original content this year. One of them was a poll that just was, again, the word Hobbit, but just like slightly different. And it got 8,500 votes. I promoted it for 15 minutes.
Oh my God. That's incredible. Again, that is the true Tumblr spirit. And that's amazing.
That is enough of an achievement that in our weekly updates, like every week on Monday, we send three things we got accomplished last week, three things we want to accomplish this week. And the Hobbit Day
I love that.
Campaign was one of my three things. So I just, that is my job.
I mean, you did
it. And
that
is a metric of success, is the word Hobbit written multiple times.
That's so good. I love it. You have such a great job.
I truly love it so much. That's why I've been here 9 years, actually, officially, as of like the last couple of weeks.
Oh my God. Congratulations.
I'm going to haunt these halls forever. Thank you very much.
That's amazing.
They'll be playing, they'll be playing Debussy at a... at my funeral, and I'll still be working at Tumblr. Anyway, Lauren, I derailed that just in an unbelievable fashion. What is your dashboard confessional?
So it's not linked in our notes for this episode because it is a post that is now private. Oh, a while ago, even on my like secret blog, I just like made a bunch of posts private just because I, don't want people to be able to track me through various things. So I won't be able to reblog this or anything, but it is a post from September 30th, 2015, and it just says, guess who's seeing Hamilton tomorrow? It's me, because I guess I saw Hamilton 2015,
oh my gosh.
which is pretty wild, because that was before I released my first podcast. It was, it was a long time ago.
Oh my God. Wait, I'm checking right now to see the exact date that I saw Hamilton, because it
oh my God,
would be very close to when you saw it.
That would be so weird.
Oh, and also, I'm just so excited to talk about Hamilton with you. I feel like that's a whole, we need a whole other episode. I know this one is a very specific conspiracy-focused one, but...
We do need one on the Hamilton fandom, because it's interesting, like, at the time, like, this post has 3 likes on it, and... this was at a time when on this particular Tumblr, I had like 10,000 followers. And no one, I've since.
Yeah.
And like three people liked it because like this was Hamilton hadn't gotten a grip on Tumblr yet in September of 2015. And so it's like, I think I had a couple of, you know, mutuals who were excited for me because I know I love Broadway, but like it hadn't sort of been like it wasn't like a thing yet. So yeah, were you able to find it?
I am. This is so embarrassing. I just have posted so many times on Instagram. I'm almost there. I've just been scrolling this whole time.
That's so
but
good.
I am, where am I? I'm in December 2016. So we're getting there.
So you're getting there.
But while I scroll, I can share a similar Hamilton anecdote. So I started at Tumblr in September 2014. And my manager at the time, Danielle Sterlet, like she loves Broadway and she loves especially like finding shows that are up and coming. So she goes to the Public a lot. So she saw Hamilton at the Public and
amazing,
you know, came back and was like, this is it. Like, this is going to be huge. And she bought, you know, she saw Hamilton front row, like I think opening week, and bought multiple front row tickets for pretty much nothing. When it first came out, and just like brought friends and saw it. And I just like think that is just, and she was telling every single person in the office, like, look, man, see Hamilton, see it as soon as possible. Like, you will not regret it. And
that's incredible.
Yeah.
She
and knew. I actually, when I'm right around the post, when I saw it, I went in the middle of the workday actually, because she was my manager.
Amazing.
I was like, oh, you know, I want to go see the Hamilton, matinee today. Can I go? And she was like, she was like, yes, of course. Cancel your meetings. Go to Hamilton. And
well, little did you know that that would be research for working at Tumblr.
Right? I know. It worked out so well. And I went with a coworker. I went with like our fashion person, Valentine. And I went February 2016.
Oh, yeah. But close.
And I went in the middle of the day. After. Still got to see the full cast, which I feel like that is just a huge, like it was, I mean, it's still an incredible show and I want to see it again. But I mean, was that like, what was your experience like seeing Hamilton? Like, where are you on the Hamilton fan scale? Because it seems like you were already quite aware of it when you saw it in 2015.
Yeah. I mean, like I'm from New York and my parents are like big Broadway people. So I grew up seeing a lot of shows. I was very, very fortunate to get to see a lot of shows and see a lot of original casts, which is amazing. And I think my dad had heard from friends of his that had seen it at the Public. They were like, when this moves, you know, like, this is moving to Broadway this year, like, you should go see it. And so I think it opened on Broadway in like the summer of 2015. And so I was coming to visit my parents that fall. And so like my dad got tickets for like the three of us to go. And because I think, yeah, my sister was still living in Denver at that time. And I knew that like it was sort of the hot and up and coming thing. Like, you know, the New York theater scene was like talking about it. But this was before the cast album had come out. So like it hadn't quite like broken containment, right? Like it was the thing that everybody was talking about who was like into Broadway. But because like the larger public hadn't heard any of the music, it like wasn't quite a big thing. And so I went pretty much in cold. Like I was familiar with In the Heights. Like I was familiar with Lin-Manuel Miranda's work. And of course, like a lot of the, you know, the cast members, I was familiar with their, you know, previous performances and things like that. But I was just like, I was blown away. Like me and my parents both were just like bowled over by it. Like, did you love it when you saw it?
I like absolutely loved it so much. I already was listening to the soundtrack and really wanted to see it for a long time. I think I'd been entering the lottery pretty much daily consistently until I went to the show. And we got tickets on, I think, you know, we did like a resale, but we got them 45 minutes before showtime and just like hopped on the subway and sprinted there. So we got like, I think there were $95 or something for like mezzanine tickets.
Wow.
It was pretty good. Yeah.
That's
was like, yeah, I'm going to go like jump out in the middle of the day. Again, I have the coolest job ever. At what other job could you be like, hey boss, I want to go see a matinee Broadway show. And she's like, please go do that. Yes, absolutely.
Please cancel your meetings. That's
but
amazing.
Yeah, I feel like I don't even, there's so many songs in Hamilton I want to talk about, but I also know that I don't want to completely derail our episode, but it was such a cultural phenomenon. Were you in the fanfic aspect of it as well?
Well, so here's what's this is actually like a great, a great sort of segue. Follow-ups.
I mean, because fanfic is just historical fanfic. Anyway, is it? I don't know. Right?
Oh, yeah. Totally. So I did go down like a little bit of a rabbit hole around like the like literal history of it, because I was very interested in the fact that like Lin-Manuel Miranda had made a musical off of like a historical biography.
Yeah.
I thought that was just like a really bizarre thing to do. And my dad is a classic dad. So he had like read that book, you know, years ago and owned it and, you know, has read like all of Ron Truno stuff. And so like the day after or whatever we saw it, like I, you know, borrowed my dad's copy and started to read through it and stuff. And I actually found that like very interesting. And also if you've read the Ron Truno biography, you might see my last name there a couple times because the Shippens did know the Burrs. Like, they were pretty good friends with the Burrs. But also, there was, like, a very sort of, like, fun, like, side quest that Alexander Hamilton... I actually don't even know if this is in the... This might be a bonus clip, this whole sidebar. I don't even know that this is in the Ron Chernow biography because I ended up reading a biography about Peggy Shippen, like, years later. And Alexander Hamilton was, like, a big feature in it because he argued for... My God, let me... Okay, so Benedict Arnold, right? Are you familiar? Yeah, so like traitor to the revolution. And he was working very closely with this guy, Major Andre, in the British Army. And he got introduced to Major Andre through his wife, Peggy Shippen, because she and Andre had like a little bit of like a flirtation when they were younger. And Andre was eventually caught, weirdly, by my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather that I guess those families ended up marrying down the line. Like, it's a very weird thing.
Lauren, your family is so embedded in American history. What in the world?
Yeah,
what was
it's
history
really
class
strange.
Like for you? What were those like family tree assignments like?
I mean, yeah, I got anytime we learned about the Revolutionary War, it's like my family was kind of all over the place there. They were 100% loyalists though. The Shippens were loyalists.
For anyone out there who is worried that we're on the side of the Redcoats,
I do not endorse the actions of my ancestors on you know, in more ways than one. Anyway, so Andre was captured and sent to execution, and he was eventually hanged by the Revolutionary Army. But Alexander Hamilton actually wrote to whoever was in charge and was like, I don't think that Andre should be hanged because that's a dishonorable way to be executed. He should have the firing squad. And like, the way that Hamilton, and this all sort of connects back, the way that Hamilton like wrote about Andre, it felt like, at least in my reading of it, I was like, he's arguing that this guy should have an honorable death because he's hot. Like, because Andre was sort of like famously handsome, and like Hamilton met him when he was imprisoned and was like, this guy's like, he's got something. He's really got something. And Hamilton's bisexuality is something that, like, is a very big part of the Hamilton fandom. And that, like, I actually think there's pretty good evidence for in the Ron Chernow biography because of his relationship with Lawrence. Man, this is making me sound like I'm a huge Hamilton fandom person. Weirdly, I'm not, but I do find that, like, historical aspect of it very interesting. You know, and as a bisexual person, I'm always like, where have we been in history, you know? Sorry, I just threw so much information at you.
I'm right there with you. I love that we are finally reinterpreting history and like accurately and not just being like, oh, he was very good friends with this
man. Exactly.
And they lived together until their old days in friendship, normally in separate rooms and beds, friendly, leave as friends. In full clothes at all times, even in the shower as friends.
yep, exactly. We should do an episode on like Hamilton fandom at some point because I do feel like it's a 100%. Huge rabbit hole that we could go down. But I guess to start out, so we both saw Hamilton 2015, 2016. We loved the show. Did you go into the fandom at all? Like, or were you part of the fandom, would you say?
I was definitely part of the Hamilton fandom. I was deeply obsessed with Hamilton, listened to the soundtrack on a constant loop for so long. My poor seatmate, because again, those headphones were not noise canceling. She sat next to me through my Hamilton phase, through my Greatest Showman phase, through my Chicago phase. She's still my friend. And, you know, that's deep. That's real friendship right
there.
That's
powerful.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, right? But anyway, yeah, I was definitely a big Hamilton fan. I need to dive back into my archives to see if I was, you know, reblogging a lot of stuff and posting about it. I definitely posted some about it. But I, yeah, was... like, definitely I would consider myself a huge fan, especially at the peak of kind of Hamilton. What about you? Were you kind of all in there, like, in terms of posting about it too?
A little bit. I definitely made, like, a couple of posts. I interacted with a couple of posts, but, like, I would not say that I was, like, deep in on the fandom. Like, I was seeing some stuff, but, like, I don't think I ever reblogged any, like, fan art. I never read any fan fiction. Like, I was... And that's usually how I interact mm-hmm. with fandoms that I'm in. And I would say that for Hamilton mostly, yeah, I was like listening to the soundtrack. Oh, God, actually. Okay, so I did do, this is sort of embarrassing. I did do several Hamilton sing-alongs in Los Angeles that were like very fun, but like quite silly. Like they would be these things at bars, like in the back rooms mm-hmm. of bars, where you'd go and you'd sort of like sign up for a song, and then you'd basically do like karaoke to like the instrumental track of the show, and like you would basically people would put on the entire show and just everyone would kind of get up and do different things.
That's so much fun.
Yeah, which is super fun. And then like as a result of sort of being part of like the group that was organizing, like I wasn't really part of organizing it, but I was like kind of in the mix of the people who would show up at sing-alongs. PBS did an event in Los Angeles that was like, they had this special that was like, it's like 45 minute special on PBS of like behind the scenes Hamilton stuff. And it was sort of the first time that like anybody aired any footage from the show itself, mm-hmm. like for a wider audience, because this was years before it was on Disney Plus. And they did a screening of that in LA and they asked us to like perform a couple of songs from the show at this PBS presentation.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
So to this day, I still have this, like, PBS tote bag that I got as a result of, like, singing at that thing.
I the amount of steps, like, things that just decisions you had to make to end up in that scenario. I love those kinds of things where you're like, how did, like, it's a very record scratch freeze frame moment there.
Yes. Completely. And, like, I don't even know how I got onto it in the first place. But so, yeah, I like that I was like, no, I wasn't really in the fandom. I did go to live events a lot.
I was in the fandom. I was actively involved in the fandom and actually performed for the fandom.
Yeah, at like a PBS sanctioned official Hamilton event. Okay, so yeah, so I was in fandom that way, but I wasn't really on like Tumblr Hamilton fandom, because I think that by the time that it really got a hold there, I had sort of like moved past my like sort of fervor mm-hmm. phase, right? And so, yeah, to briefly cover the Hamilton fandom on Tumblr, it sort of had the trajectory of, like, a classic, like, TV show mm-hmm. kind of fandom, which is really interesting, because I would not have expected that necessarily as a fan of it myself, because the way I wanted to interact with it was, like, karaoke, right? And memes. But people, yeah, were shipping the characters,
the
historical
fathers.
Figures, like, yeah. Like, it's a historical RPF, yeah. basically, but sort of based on these interpretations of these people. Like, they are characters in the show, right? Because they're, like, they're broad interpretations of these people.
Yeah, and not all the events are completely, like, fact. Like, Hamilton itself is historical fanfic, so...
Exactly. Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's sort of fanfic of a fanfic.
So, yeah, this Hamilton is... fanfic of Hamilton is the 50... is, like, the... like, if Hamilton is 50 Shades, if this is the worst, this, okay, you know where...
if Hamilton is Twilight...
if the source material is Twilight, Hamilton is 50 Shades, and fanfic of Hamilton is the Ever After series, that was the 50
yes.
Shades fanfic.
Yes.
And this
exactly.
is the kind of intellectual conversation that you can expect on Dashboard Diaries.
No, that's perfect. And yeah, and fan fiction was like a very big thing in the Hamilton fandom.
Yeah.
Like I said, like I never read any of it. It doesn't sound like you were involved really in the fanfic of Hamilton.
I was not.
So I was like not really aware necessarily of like how large the fanfic output was, but there were some very popular fanfics, including one called To Scale the Blue Sky by an author named Isra. And I heard about all of this after the fact. But essentially, there was this, eventually, it sort of this scandal broke open in the Hamilton fandom. And it sort of, I think, in some ways, like, marked kind of the end of the Hamilton fandom, because it just sort of, like, it just sort of became the thing that overwhelmed the fandom for a little while, I think. So, yeah, a lot of people were writing fanfic. To Scale the Blue Sky was an high school AU, so, you know, an alternate universe fic set in high school. And in it, it was like the author had sort of presented it as like a fic in which she wanted to explore the AIDS crisis. And so, like, in the fic, like, several of the characters have HIV/AIDS and are sort of dealing with that. And it's like, you know, it's exploring that, which, sure, you know, it's like Rent is another incredibly popular musical with teens. And that's like the main theme of Rent. So, like,
kind of like a Hamilton Rent crossover, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but it's set in high school, you know? And so they were writing this AU. We'll get to how the Cannibal Mermaids factor into this in a little bit. But basically, this became an incredibly popular fic within the Hamilton fandom. And as a result, the writer of it, Isra, became like a sort of big name fan, right? Like, she was somebody that, like, a lot of people were aware of. People were very into this fic. And she also talked about how the fic was sort of inspired by her own struggles as an HIV positive person. And both she and her wife, who also helped her write the fic, were both HIV positive. Isra was a non-binary Chinese Pakistani victim of sex trafficking. And, oh, well, I don't know actually if their pronouns were they, them at the time. But, and then Isra's wife, Raj, was a Catholic Somali lesbian of color, and they're both HIV positive, right? So it's like there's you know, it's very, like, multicultural, it's international. They're writing something from their own experience. This became something that a lot of people in the fandom were very, you know, interested in, the fact that, like, they, you know, were talking about their various experiences on Tumblr, and they started to run a blog called HIV Living, which is kind of how the scandal's known now, is like the HIV Living Hamilton scandal. And that Tumblr was about, you know, living with an HIV-positive diagnosis. So as part of this, you know, inevitably, as these things often lead to, eventually there is a hey, if anybody wants to give me money for my struggles, here's a, you know, Cash App link, right? And another Tumblr user started to kind of look into this. And this Tumblr user was the username Dijoxin Perpy. But she also went by Digitalis, which I think was one of her fanfic names. So I'm just going to call her Digitalis because it's a little bit easier for me to say. So she looked into the Cash App and was like, huh, the location of the receiver of this money is in the U.S. Like, that's a little bit fishy. Eventually, Digitalis, the person who was kind of, you know, curious about this, found out that actually neither of these people existed, and it was just an American teenager named Alex who had completely fabricated these people. And initially, when this all came out, Alex, you know, or that's how, like, Alex is the name that's, like, referred to. I don't know if that's actually her real name, but she was a college student, and she immediately tried to backtrack by saying that Isra and Raj were, like, based on real people whose stories that she really wanted to tell, and, you know, as a way to, like, honor them and stuff. And, like, eventually that was proven to definitely not be true. So this person was essentially pretending to be a victim of sex trafficking, two different people with HIV, and also two different people from very different backgrounds from hers that lived in completely different countries.
Wow.
And presumably just to get readers for her HIV positive Hamilton fanfic. Like, that was the... That seemed to be the idea. And then also eventually, of course, to receive money from people.
Yes.
And when everybody found out, they demanded refunds back. And Alex was like, of course, I'll refund you. And apparently she never did. And eventually just, like, all of her works and I think entire existence off the was just, like, scrubbed off the internet. But the other part of this, too, is that, as often goes with these sort of, like, call out sequences, you know, it's like Digitalis called out HIV Living for being fake people. And then people started to call out Digitalis for doing this out of revenge because she had to take down her Hamilton fanfic that was about cannibal mermaids.
Oh. Okay, I honestly was waiting to see how the cannibal mermaids were going to factor into the HIV human trafficking storyline.
Yeah. So that's how, like, apparently, yeah, it's like they, like, some people accused Digitalis of, or they were accusing the followers of HIV Living for forcing Digitalis to delete her Cannibal Mermaid fan fiction. It's unclear if this happened. The obviously, like, all of the posts referencing this are gone, all the original posts, and, like, all of the fic itself is gone, right? So it's, like, it's hard to know how much of this is true and, like, what the original fanfic actually was. But that is the story of HIV Living and the Hamilton fandom, which is just wild.
I mean, I'm struggling to find the words. I'm so sorry that we've lost this, you know, relic, this historical, you know, footage or, you know, record from the internet. It's like losing the Library of Alexandria. Like, honestly, this,
truly,
you know, it really is comparable. It's so sad to see. I really have so many questions, especially about the cannibal mermaids. For example, are the mermaids the founding fathers? Are the founding fathers dating the mermaids? Are the founding fathers the cannibals? Are the mermaids also cannibals? Are the cannibals the founding fathers and the mermaids are? Anyway, I have so many. Yes?
So actually, sort of none of those things. I got a little bit wrong. It wasn't Hamilton cannibal mermaid fic. It was Hamilton RPF cannibal mermaid fic. So actually, the pairing in it was Lin-Manuel Miranda and Anthony Ramos.
And they were, was one a cannibal and one was a mermaid? Mermaids?
And no.
Cannibal slash mermaid?
Lin was a cannibal mermaid in it.
Of course.
But apparently it featured romance and murder, but no vor.
Okay.
Which is interesting. But apparently also it started as a little bit of a trend. And there's at least two other cannibal slash vor mermaid Hamilton RPF fics, both of which have now been deleted. And also, apparently, there is one of these fics got turned into a, like, published romance male-male novel, like a self-published novel. So there's that also.
I just wish there was more time in the day to read all of this. I just want to know. I want to read them all. I want to know it all. Like, there's...
I am dropping the book into our notes so that it's called Riptide 1, Little Gods of Water.
Excellent. Also, this is just a side note. Can we please do a future episode on just Shrek and the resurgence of Shrek and how that fandom has become whatever it is once we can talk about movies again?
Oh my God, absolutely.
Because obviously I am served like a large portion of my algorithm is Shrek content. I wouldn't know why. But I saw that someone has written a Shrek romance novel, one of those like trashy kind of like grocery store checkout romance novels. It's called
Incredible.
It's called Get in My Swamp.
Perfect. And what else could it possibly be called?
My friend and I are starting a book club to read Get in My Swamp. So if you want to join the Get in My Swamp book club, look, everyone's welcome.
Yes. That's amazing. So that's the story.
I'm so glad the internet exists. I'm so glad, simultaneously glad and concerned that the internet can for everyone involved.
Okay, Cher, I've talked to you for way too long about the Hamilton cannibal mermaids.
And I could talk for so much longer, Lauren.
Yeah. So we're going to keep talking and we're going to get into My Immortal. But for those listeners, this is going to be a two-parter. So check back in 2 weeks. And with that, I'm Lauren Shippen and you can find me at thelaurenshippen.tumblr.com.
And I'm Cher McAnally. You can find me at overshares.tumblr.com. This has been Dashboard Diaries and...
May your anons always be loving.
Your dash always refreshed.
Your gifts always be loading.
And your ships always canon.
May the fix you're reading always be finished.
And the answers you seek always in the reblogs.
Thanks for scrolling with us.